the Mayo Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy. This is Recently on the Show. Yes, for all you people out there in the podcast world who haven't yet subscribed to patreon.com/Mayo Podcast, we always want to pop in here and give you a little sample of what you're missing and just make you realize, for €1 a week, this seems like a good value thing for me to get involved with the new season just starting. On the show to help us out with these clips and the man who actually picks all the clips to give you a taste of what's out there, John Gunnigan, how are you?
Hey Rob, how you doing? Yeah, this is our first highlights show of 2024. Obviously not our first pod of 2024. I think we've released six already, which I think is fairly good going off the back of a charity match, which is actually just before the start of the new year, an FBD defeat to London, and not a whole pile more than that. So yeah, so we're up and running in 2024, and on this show, we're going to give you a sample of what we've been talking about.
You know, you try and tell yourself, if you're me and you don't go to FBD games, you try and you tell yourself, no matter what the lads come up with, no matter what text has just come through to my phone about whatever happened in the dome tonight, I am not all that interested. And then the text said, Mayo have lost to London. So you know what? Already, this team just kind of doesn't allow you to kind of relax on any narrative. Never really does it?
No, it doesn't. And also that loss to London produced the day after the first call on the blog for management to consider their position. I'm claiming that as a world record in the year. I don't think that ever happened as early as the 5th of February before.
Without question.
But I just need to maybe go back and check that. But I'd be fairly confident that it didn't.
Yeah. I think no one had that on the bingo card. Anyways, our highlight show is going to take you on a little journey through the last few weeks, because there's been some great clips, some great interviews, some brilliant voices, and it builds you all the way up to the Mayo manager, Kevin McStay, who, as we record this, was chatting just hours ago to Mike Finnerty. That's how much of a fresh highlight that clip is. But we'll get to that a little bit later, and maybe we'll get to some natteries between myself and John. Let's get stuck in to game one of 2024. And it's not game one of 2024, as you're about to tell me, John, because it was the final game of 2023 and you were in the dome for it.
It was, and it was the final whistle podcast of 2023 as well. But I felt it was worth including this clip, because a lot of people may not have heard it if they're not club members. And I got a chance to chat with Rob Henley after the charity game, and Rob was very generous with his time. And we covered a bit of ground, including I asked him what were his hopes for 2024, both for himself and for the team. And this is what he had to say.
What are your hopes for 2024, Rob? We're almost at the end of 23. Yeah. It is that time of year. I mean, obviously, it's a whole new year. So for you and for Mayo, what are your hopes?
Well, as I said at the start, for myself, I want to get back playing for Mayo as much as possible. I always said I'd take it year by year. So I'm obviously fully committed to 2024 and getting myself in the position I need to be able to offer something to Mayo football, and whether that's on the team or as a squad player. But
we were talking in the during the game. We were just saying in Stephen Cluxton years, yeah. you're only a gosser.
Yeah, well, I'm different. A big difference between me and Cluxton, but yeah, I would think that. Like, to be honest, every part of my body feels good now. My knee, I had a few niggles with my knee. They're in much better place now, and I'm just hoping to get a run of training sessions and form and all of that. And as I said, I want to play for Mayo. That's the number one thing. That's what everyone wants to do for as long as possible. And we've a great group of lads as well. So as a group, we just want to go take it game by game. FBD is great because it gives you a set up into the league. The league is coming very fast. And then Pearce Stadium in 4 weeks' time, basically less than 4 weeks' time nearly, it's going to be some challenge. Like, so really competitive Division 1 to defend our title as well. So that's kind of going to be the focus, take it game by game in the league.
Great to hear from Rob Henley. Do you know what? It popped up a few times towards the end of the year. I think, and I hope I'm not wrong here, I think Jordan Flynn was asked by Mike Finnerty who's the best crack in the dressing room, and first name out of the on that answer was Robbie Henley. And you suddenly realised, my God, he might have been out of the match day panels, but he was still very much in the center of things in that dressing room for that group. And whatever happens in 2024, if Robbie Henley finds his way back into this team, it will in large part be down to his incredible drive. Like, the character that he brings to the team comes from a kind of a determination, and it came across in that interview.
Yeah, yeah, and it wasn't just Jordan Flynn as well. I think Brendan Harrison definitely mentioned him, and I think Jason Doherty did as well. So Rob is well known as a big character in that dressing room. And if you think about it, you know, it's a dressing room that this year won't have the likes of Kevin McLaughlin and Jason Doherty and Brendan Harrison in it, and they were obviously very influential voices in the dressing room. So to have Rob still there, because I think his obituary was being written way too fast. I think there was an assumption that he was gone last year when he wasn't, because as he explained when we chatted, he had huge injury problems last year. I think it started this time last year with a broken toe, and he never really got going after that. But I tell you, he looks fighting fit, and Robbie Henley fighting fit is still one of the best keepers in the country, and I think he could be a major asset for Mayo in 2024. It's great to see him back. It's great to see him back fully fit.
Fully agree. On to our Mayo London final whistle pod. Not the way we wanted to start the year. And let's be honest, it starts the way it'll more than likely end in terms of the league and championship, with Mayo losing a game. But maybe, just maybe, this is the year. Who knows? It's not the way you wanted to start, though.
No, it's not. It's not. And even though we can always say it's only the FBD, and Shironi, who cares about the FBD? The result doesn't really matter. I still think there was a fairly sharp intake of breath amongst supporters in general and on the Final Whistle podcast about the fact that our colours had been lowered by London. The clip we have here was a question actually I put to Colin Boyle, and it's a reasonably short answer. And the reason is I asked him, like, who impressed him in the game, and he had a few names, but not a very long list.
They did, I would say. Look, I thought Conor Hunt had a decent game at six. He got an awful lot of ball and did well. Outside of that, like, our full back line had all sorts of problems with Shea Rafter. I think he had three different markers overall. I think Dunham McHugh started on him, then Rory Kane went on him, and then Rory Ono Dunham went on him when he came on, and he gave all three of them, you know, all sorts of problems. After that, then Conor Reid, I think, was in and out of the game. I think he played well in patches, I have to say, and he looked decent in the air for any contested kickouts and stuff like that. So he was decent. Darren Quinn had a good 5 minute spell in the first half where he kicked a point and he had an assist, but outside of that, really, you're probably struggling, to be honest with you. Kevin Quinn had a quiet game, didn't get on much ball, and when he did, it looked like he wanted to get a shot away straight away because he was probably frustrated by lack of possessions.
The voice of Colin Boyle, we'll hear a little bit more from him in a second. We had another pod a few days after that, FBD Learnings, we called it, the wrapping up the competition that was, from a Mayo perspective. Myself and Mike did that, but we had some clips, including this recording of Michael Maher chatting to Mike on the Connacht GATV's coverage of the game, and we just wanted to drop it in there because it's nothing like hearing a banner store with an English accent.
Michael, congratulations. What a win.
Yeah, thanks. Look, we're over the moon. We've had a big reset in terms of the panel. We had a tough year last year, and we just spoke about it there. We didn't win a game last year, and it's tough, and you question why sometimes. And then you go back to the grind, like November, December, doing the sessions, the wind and the rain. And it's like when you get a positive performance and a result like that, you realise why you're doing it. You play for that 15 seconds after the game, and look, we're delighted, but it's only a start. And ultimately, look, we want wins in Division 4 and further down the line. But look, that was a tough game for us today. When the draw was made, it sets the bar high, and we're really pleased with the day's work.
Yeah, tell me what was the most pleasing thing about it, because from the very start, the attitude, the intensity, the application all looked to be on the money. But as you reflect back on the result itself, what gives you the most satisfaction?
Listen, I'm a great believer that if you follow the processes collectively as a 20 that go on the pitch, 20, 21 players. If all 20 or 21 set out and nail the game plan, then you give yourselves a chance to look back at the end of the game and say, did the game plan put us in a position to win it? The answer was yesterday, we did win it. So the application was great, the intensity was great, our fitness levels were fairly good. And look, we took our chances. Our percentage of attacks to shots and shots to scores was very, very good. But just our defensive intelligence, our game intelligence was really, really good today at times.
John, as someone who spent a lot of time as an Irish immigrant in London, it is brilliant to see a member of the Irish immigrant community and the second generation one at that, just having such a massive influence on football and to have risen to, let's be honest, the highest position in management within the England's capital city.
Yeah, no, it was great because I was actually stood just behind where the London bench and substitutes, the management and substitutes were in the dome. And there was an array of accents, including a few English ones. And one of those was obviously Michael Maher. And I thought he spoke very, very well afterwards. And there was a huge novelty about the fact that we were hearing an English voice, obviously, though with very, very strong Irish heritage, but nonetheless an English voice talking as a GAA manager. And you immediately, and I think Mike referenced it in the pod, like that he said it was near the closest he'd get to match of the day, and you kind of are putting yourself in that mindset of the English Premiership manager. But at the same time, I noted that he repeatedly said look in starting his sentences, not quite Horan-esque with the lookets, but he was halfway there. But I thought it was a nice clip, and I think it bookended that London match quite nicely.
Fully agree. Jumped on then for episodes to Billy Joe and Colin Boyle with Mike Finnerty. What a combo that was. What a great chat it was as well. Pre-season training, the joys of January if you're a Mayo player, memories, and lots of great stuff from the lads. Let's start with Billy Joe on John Mahan's pre-season bedside manner.
Like, take John Mahan, for example. What was John like 2 weeks out from the start of the league? Like, surely he couldn't have been running you know, around beaches and up hills a fortnight from the start of the league, or could he?
No, I don't remember. No, in all fairness to John, no, there was none of that. We were definitely out on a pitch. That's not to say that we weren't running. We were running, all right. And running and roaring and shouting in the gym, lifting as much weights as we could, and everyone laughing. But yeah, no, it was some serious stuff at times. I think the difference would be is that looking back at that time of year, particularly with Mahan, and this is, you know, I'd say it if he was here listening to us now, is the difference with John and a lot of these other managers is he would directly challenge you at that time to basically say, oh, you think you should be playing? Well, you're playing now. And if you're rubbish, you'll be taken off. You know, so it was as simple as that. I remember him saying that to me one day, like, I don't think I played at all. Very little in the FPD League. I think it was 04 or 05. And I'm ringing me up. And I think I was living in Belfast going to college or something at the time, driving down the Friday, half knackered from the week. And he goes, you're playing at the weekend now. I don't want to hear another thing about you all week saying you should be doing this or do that. It's put up or shut up time now. And so.
You enjoyed that one, John.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm not sure which I enjoyed more the anecdote itself, or else his impersonation of John Mahan, which I thought was pretty good too. But yeah, you know, that was, I enjoyed that one.
Some of you will know that Billy Joe and myself are on another podcast where we rewatch old football games, retro football games, one day at a time, and every so often, Billy Joe has tried to do an accent, and it usually leads to us giving him lots of abuse. And I think on that one, it's probably one of his better attempts at an accent, considering how much he would have heard that voice. He'd want to get it right. But yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's his give up the day job moment either. You picked another one out from that show.
I did. And this is Colin Boyle on roughly the same kind of theme. Now Boyle doesn't attempt any accents on it, but his thing is interesting because he's talking from personal experience about being the new guy coming in. It was when himself and Mickey Conroy were recalled to the panel at the start of the 2012 season and how the early weeks went with that. And then he goes on to talk about the difference between when you're an established player and how that you go through those early parts of the year. Because Billy Joe was on about how, as an established player, you kind of go through the motions early on. You don't give it absolutely everything. You just place yourself in a way that you're in decent enough form to either get a first 15 place early in the league, or else you're getting close to it. And Colm was more or less agreeing with that in large part. But then contrasting that with the situation that the new lads find themselves in, when it really is live or die. Like these weeks are hugely important for them. So I just thought that was a really interesting clip.
Spoiler, if John Mahan was pushing those sort of buttons with Joe back in the day, what was James Horan's approach? Like, how would he interact with you and the lads, we'll say, at this time of the season now?
I'd say pretty much the same as every manager. Like, they want us. They were trying to bring a real focus and a real, obviously, preparation for the league. But, like, Billy Joe makes a great point there. When you're kind of more established player, you're probably just thinking, yeah, let's get through this. You know what I mean? Leave yourself in a decent position to be hopefully starting in the first league game. If you're not, it's not the end of the world, but obviously you do. But for the likes of boys who are just maybe in there at the very start, and you know, they know we've just got a couple of weeks to impress here. And a lot, we would have seen a lot of these boys last Sunday, Mike. Like, they're in a completely different headspace whatsoever. And, like, I suppose I had this, myself and Michael Conroy, when we got called back into the panel at the end of 2011, we were still on a club run with Davos. So we were actually still in the semi-final. The semi-final was coming up at the end of January. And I remember we were playing an FBD game where we were going to Ballyhaunas, myself and Mickey. And we're going out in the car and he picked me up. And, like, we had no more games left in the FBD because we were going back to Davos after the game. So we were saying, geez, we have to play well here today. There's a good chance we're going to be back. Because at the end of the FBD, there's always a cut. So if we don't play well here today, we're probably going to be gone off the panel. And we're only back on in a couple of weeks, like, you know. And so there was pressure on going into that game. And I remember Mickey started. He was absolutely flying. He kicked two in the first 15 minutes. And I barely touched the ball. And I was thinking, oh, Jesus, Mickey's going to get kept on here. And I'm going to get released. You know what I mean? But it's mad what can go through your head. But that's the different pressures different boys are in. Like I said, the more established boys, it's just about getting game time, getting your fitness up, getting your sharpness up. But the new boys in are under savage pressure. And we would have seen a bit of that last Sunday in the Dome, for sure. But look, I think the way it's gone now, Mike, like the FBD, I'd say them boys are probably training even harder than we did Billy Joe back in the day, because this is now the loading phase, really. Because once the league starts, you're on pretty much week in, week off. And then the championship is starting a couple of weeks later. So you don't have obviously depending on what province you're in, maybe, you don't have a huge amount of time where, you know, back in the day, once the league finished, you'd probably 6 or 8 weeks of torture after the league because you were getting ready for the championship. Now you simply don't have that. So they're doing an awful lot of the hard grind now, get themselves in good nick for the league, try and maintain that right through and keep bodies on the pitch. And then you might have a couple of weeks after that if you're lucky. But as we discovered last year against Roscommon, we'd only a week. I think we've only a week this year again, possibly two, depending on if we don't get to the league final or not. So it's more kind of, I would say, more of a grind now than probably ever before.
Do you know what? I was so, like, taken aback by that whole podcast. It was one of the highlights of the last few weeks. It's particularly telling to hear, you know, both Billy Joe and Colm talk about some players who maybe come in short on what's required. And Colm used the phrase, some lads actually don't know what hard work is. They think they do. They have experienced training sessions and they think they're the best player in there and they can see themselves, you know, really, really ahead of other players, but they haven't a clue. And he wasn't holding back. He got the real sense of the inner coach in Colm Boyle now and the leadership or the leader that he is. But whew, there's lessons to be there learned for young people out there who might aspire to be on the Mayo men's and women's team in the future on what's required to be the best of the best.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, the more the players of that era talk, I think the more we realize what a special group they were. And I guess in hearing all that, it becomes less of a surprise that they were at the very top level for as long as they were, because they were absolutely committed, and their commitment to the highest standards was, you know, it was complete, and that just really came through so strongly in what he had to say. Now the one bit that I didn't include, which I think was picked up by listeners of the pod, was when Mike was on about a guy lines you up in a match in January, you know, and do you go for it fully or do you pull out? And then I think it was only after he had asked the question that he realised, oh Jesus Christ, I've just asked Colin Boyle that question, you know, and with predictable results, I think it's fair to say. But anyway, that's one for club members. Club members would have heard that. So if you want to hear that, people, you know what you have to do. Annual membership of the podcast is available for €1 per week plus VAT. So that's our special offer, which is available, and it's the best value you will get in the podcast world, I would say at this point in time.
And it's been snapped up too, since we put the message out there. Lots of people who see the value in getting in early and getting it locked in for the whole year, because we're a 12-month a year podcast, not just while things are flying high for Mayo, you know, like in the FBD. Oh, why did I say that? Moving on. Enough of that. But I will just bookend what you said by saying that, you know, the continuous involvement of these ex-players in the future of Mayo football development is so, so critical. And it may not guarantee in all Ireland, but there's absolutely no way we're going to win one without their incredible wealth of knowledge and commitment to the cause. Liam McHale had that back in the day. We know that. He's a sports lover. We know that. It was really interesting when he sat down with Mike at the launch of Mayo Ladies League National League campaign, that he talked about the vast differences between now and back then and how much these young players impressed him. But we wanted to tap into something more than that, because it's a great show all around. There's a little bit about his exit from the Mayo management team, which is fascinating in and of itself. There's a bit about his time settling in with his new role as Mayo ladies manager. But you picked out a clip around his philosophy.
That's right, yeah, because this pod is about a half an hour long, and as you say, he covered quite a lot of ground. I think the easy clip to take from this would have been the stuff when he said about his exit from the men's setup, which is really interesting. But again, if you're a club member, you'll have heard it. But for the rest of you know what to do. I just thought for this one, it was the right thing to do, if you like, was to talk about his new role and to talk about where he intends to take the Mayo ladies team. So this was towards the end of the chat that Mike had with him, and he talked about his footballing philosophy and what we can expect to see in Ballinan Sunday. And as you know, Rob, I'm going to be there, so I'm looking forward to that. So this is what Liam had to say on that topic.
Just a couple of things while I think of it. You mentioned there about your philosophy. You like mm-hmm. the game played a certain way. For people who are thinking of going to watch the ladies on Sunday, or thinking of going to watch the ladies anytime this season, what will they see? What are they going to get from a Liam McHale managed coach team?
I don't think anyone can promise you're going to win, but I can promise that we'll play football that'll be easy on the eye. We've worked very hard on pace, playing at a tempo that might make other teams uncomfortable, especially at this time of the year. Obviously, there's better teams than us out there right now. Obviously, Kerry, Dublin, Cork, Galway, they're all Meath, they're all good, very good sides. Obviously, Kerry and Dublin being the kingpins at the moment. But we've worked very hard on spacing, ball movement, player movement, kick passing, being aggressive, putting the opposition's full back line under pressure, not looking lateral. Our first look is looking inside, see can we get the ball inside. If that's not on, then we look lateral, not to be going back unless we're forced back. And then obviously we have to be defensive minded. We have to have good shape defensively, and then there's a lot of power and pace coming out of the backs. But everybody getting their heads up early and looking to make that pass and not being afraid to make that pass and not be afraid to make mistakes. We've done a lot of work on that, and we've played two games, Westmeath, Kildare. We scored 5-9 in one and 5-15 in the other. So I know this is a step up, but I think to shorten the answer, I'd say, like, people come to Ballina, you'll see a good game of football, and we will be trying for 60 minutes to break down the Meath defence and put up a score that's going to win the game for us, for sure.
The final segment of our podcast, the final clip from our podcast, comes from Liam McHale's counterpart. Now, in the men's side of the ledger, it is a new dawn, new season. 2024 starts with a bang, really. A league game away to Galway, followed by a league game at home to Dublin. And everyone wants Kevin McStay to win those games, but also not get to the league final. This should be good fun. Mike got a chance to sit down with him, and he was more relaxed than maybe the environment might make him.
But in terms of the game in 10 days' time, it probably won't hit me that we're under too much pressure until I get off the bus and go into the dressing room and see the big crowd that's there. You know, I mean, I'd have a real sense Galway are under a lot more pressure than we are. I mean, we've, you know, we are where we are. We had a decent season last year, whereas, you know, our opponents might think this is a massive match for them. You know, we'll be taking this as a key National League fixture. No more, no less than that. You know our schedule. I've gone through it. But the day you play your one of your biggest rivals in the province is a big day, and we will definitely be ready for it. There's no question about that. And we'll pick a team that we feel will compete. And once we compete, and our attitude is right, we're a test for anybody. So I'm really more looking forward to it now than feeling pressurised about it. And no matter what the result is, if we perform well up there and we give a good account of ourselves, I don't care what, well, I do care what the result is. Of course, I'd love to win it. But a lot of that is outside our control because they're so evenly matched, the teams. But yeah, I'm more looking forward to it than feeling pressurised about it.
Kevin McStay, setting the scene. That was recorded just hours before we recorded this episode, these links, so it's great to get it. And that brings you right up to date with where we are on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. Where, as John said, for €1 a week plus VAT on your annual membership, you can get all this brilliant content. Great to hear from Kevin McStay, great to get that access. And it does just kind of get you in the mood for getting watching this Mayo football team out there in proper full-on National League games.
Yeah, that clip is really hot off the griddle, Rob. We're literally talking about just being hours ago. So when we say recently on the podcast, in that instance, we mean very, very recently. Interesting chat, only 15 minutes long or so, but there's a lot of ground covered. The really interesting point, I thought, was the Evan Regan one, because, as we know, a certain Mayo newspaper that has a fairly well-established track record, I think it's fair enough to say, about in the area of creative writing, where it comes to Mayo GA stories, led with another one a week or two ago, that Evan Regan was back on the panel. So Mike put that question directly to Kevin McStay, and he scotched it fairly clearly. So that's one interesting part in it, but there's obviously lots more in it as well, including that clip about the goal again that you just heard.
Yeah, really gets me in the mood for the whole just getting back and watching some action, because I think one thing that struck me from what Kevin said, John, is like your reference point continues to be 7 months ago, as in the last time you watched this Mayo football team in, you know, in competitive action, if you like, against Dublin. It's a very different world from the perspective of the management team, who've been chatting to those lads since then, watching them in club football, but more importantly, watching them in training sessions that we don't get to see. So, I mean, there's a fair point there. We do need some fresh content here, don't we?
Oh, we do, of course. Yeah. I mean, it is a fair point, but I guess the supporters won't be long catching up. Because I can tell you, like, after the match in Pier Stadium, nobody will be talking about 2023. Everybody will be talking about the match they've just played, and they will be looking ahead to the next one. So I think that is just a byproduct, if you like, of the split season, because it's ancient history since we played a competitive match last. But that's all going to change the weekend after next.
Yeah, you can effectively think about it this way. Go back to the old days, good old days when the All-Ireland was mid-September. You know, this game against Galway is the equivalent of a serious game in mid-April. And we know the way we would have been looking at things in mid-April. We would have been thinking to ourselves, who's there? Are we ready to go? Like, and I do think we haven't completely reset ourselves, certainly for the last weekend in January, not at all. But, you know, by and large, you'll need to be seeing things from the get-go if Mayo are going to be ready for the Connacht Championship in just a few short months, three short months.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, we're about to be force-fed as much Gaelic football as we can possibly eat and a whole load more over the next number of months. I mean, there literally will be no let-up now until it's over.
And there'll be no let-up on this podcast, John. We have actually sorted out some of our plans for New York. Still more plans to do. The pod's on tour. We're looking forward to that. So much to look forward to in this season. And, you know, with the quality of games that are just out the gate, Galway away, Dublin at home, it's the best.
Kerry away then. I think it's Kerry away then, and then is it Tyrone after that? Like, so
down to Tralee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough schedule early on. And that's the funny thing as well, because there's a lot of chat at the minute, you know, people saying, I don't care about the league. I don't care if we get relegated or all the rest. Well, wait till we see how the first three games go. And I can tell you, if after three games it's played three, you know, won none, drawn none, lost three, you'll hear a different tune out of people.
Absolutely. Where if it's played 3-1-3, everyone's going to be going, are we going to manage this? And we can't. It's a disaster. We'll never get to New York. Oh, the joys, the absolute joys of it all. Love it. Sign up, folks. You know what to do. Spread the word. Tell your friends. If you need to get in touch with us, John's blog is the place to do it, mayogablog.com. So if, let's say, you're sitting there going, I have a few challenges when signing up to the podcast, or I'd like to do it, but I found it difficult, get in touch with us on the blog and we will talk to you direct, because we're really well up for whatever challenges that are set. Patreon.com, you can log on and find it on your web browser. It's an app on your phone. Once you log in there and search for Mayo Podcast, you'll be able to just click a button and sign up. But yeah, do spread the word and help others in your world who may be very much not podcast people, but massive Mayo football fans. We do find that at least a quarter of our listeners were the only podcast they listened to. So, you know, we appreciate that as well, because we know you're starved for content out there, starved for the kind of content that we've just shown you in the highlights package. John, have a good few days of, you know, bliss, quietness before, you know, everything gets a bit crazy.
Yeah, just we have one announcement to make, of course, Rob, in relation to this podcast and in relation to just a technical development, just another step forward for us. Listeners will need to know that we have established a channel on YouTube, and we intend to be putting content on there. Now, obviously, Patreon is where most of our content is. Free pods will appear on YouTube, and starting with this one, only audio on this one, but I believe we are talking about doing video as well, so we're going to have to get, you know, makeup assistance and
trim my beard.
We need a wardrobe allowance, I think.
Absolutely.
As well, Rob,
retro Mayo jerseys.
Yeah, well, probably, you know, you might need hairdressers. I don't think I do, but those of you with hair might need some help in that department. But yes, this pod, I think, is the first one that we're going to put up on YouTube, and then it's going to be there'll be sound and vision. Also, lots of the clips that we already put up on social media are starting to appear on that channel as well. So it's youtube.com/ Mayo Football Podcast is where you'll find all that. But if you just type in Mayo Football Podcast on YouTube, you'll get it there.
Thanks, John. Thanks, folks. Stay tuned for more such shows, highlights on the pod, recently on the pod, call it what you will. It's great to have you along. You know what to do. Sign up for more.
That's right. And I will see you at the weekend, Rob.
Yes, indeed. Looking forward to it. We'll tell people more about what that podcast is on another day.
Absolutely. And that is one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, we have a treat in store for our Patreon listeners. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Joe.